April is here, and if your windows won't open for fresh air or seal tight to keep out pollen and bugs, then talk to Window Nation. Right now, for every two windows you buy, you'll get two free. There's no limit to how much you can save. Plus, save even more with no interest or payments for 24 months. With proven quality, you'll get affordable windows that meet or beat the national brands. Don't miss out. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com to schedule your free in-home estimate.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and Branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
What's going on, everyone? Jota Camara and Elliot Short Parks in for John today, 94 WIP. Great to be with you on this Friday morning. Of course, following up on the Phils last night. And a little bit of a gift with that game ending early and the Phils in the lead. And they called that a win. That's good stuff. Now, I'll tell you what was also good stuff. Bryce Harper as an announcer was great. Here's the problem. Bryce Harper might be a better announcer than Noah Syndergaard is pitcher at this point. I'm just saying it's possible. That was not the most encouraging start by Syndergaard. A lot of hits given up. No, we'll get into it. Wasn't a pileup of runs until that last inning there, but he gets the win. They get the win, but not exactly a flamethrower anymore. We'll talk about that. A lot to get into with the Eagles today. Of course, Elliot in here, obviously had practice every single day. So Elliot and I will talk a ton of Eagles, and we'll do it all with you on the phone lines, 215-592-9494. We'll also get into the Phils alumni weekend. We'll get into Dick Vermeil going into the Hall of Fame this weekend. So just a lot to get to. Elliot, how are you, pal?
What's up, man? Excited to be in here with you. Today was supposed to be my off day. I was planning on working out, but as I know you respect and appreciate, now I don't have to work out. So I'm happy to be in here with you.
We call that the Joe DeCamera.
Yeah, exactly.
Dude, listen, one of these millenniums, I'll get to the working out thing, and I need to do it sooner than later because it's getting ridiculous. All right, let's.
I'm a man. I'm 40. I'm a man. I'm 40.
I hit the wrong
Seltzer.
One first. I know.
Wow, look at this, man.
Seltzer. Yeah. Dude, get it together, man.
Bad job by me.
Indeed it is. All right, let's get to the Birds.
Yes.
We got a game in a week, preseason game. We'll see who plays and how much they play and all that sort of stuff. But we're now about a week and a half into this training camp. And, Elliot, it's a great opportunity to have you here, obviously usually on the beat, covering the team day by day. Curious off the top here, what has stood out to you the most from the Eagles training camp, now almost 2 weeks in the books?
Yeah, I think what stood out to most to me is the lack of a passing game. I mean, I think coming into this year, for me, the main thing I wanted to see from this team, and frankly, the thing that they needed to take the step forward that everybody thinks they can, is an improved passing game. Last year, the reason they weren't a legit playoff team once they got there, and the reason they kind of struggled to get there, was because they couldn't throw the ball. And you look at this offseason with the addition of A.J. Brown, Devontae going into his second year, and we can rattle off the weapons. I think the expectation was this is going to be a passing team. They're going to be able to pass it more than they did last year and pass it at a high level. And I haven't seen that at all. I mean, the passing offense to me has not looked good. In fact, I think the passing offense has actually been bad through six practices. And what's most surprising to me is they're not passing it any more than they did last year. They're still running it a ton in training camp. They look no different on offense than they looked last year. And to me, that's both surprising and incredibly disappointing.
Well, there's a lot to unpack there. Let me ask you this question, and then we're going to get to everyone on the phones, and everyone can climb in, 215-592-9494. When you say a lack of a passing game, obviously you mean effective one.
Yeah.
How much of that is your sense of Hurts, and how much of that is others aren't holding up their end of the bargain? Because the only way we can do a deep dive is to know sort of the breakdown. What's the breakdown?
It's Hurts. Hurts is the reason the passing offense hasn't looked good. Now, you can go to specific drills, specific days, and say, okay, well, maybe yesterday it was this. But overall, after a week and a half, 6 days in, the reason this offense looks the same as it did last year is because Hurts looks the same. I haven't seen that leap from him. And I did see it. What's surprising is in the offseason workouts, I thought he did look better. But now that they're playing 11 on 11, now that the pads are on, he looks like the same guy. And so when I watch this offense every day, and I've got a chance to watch him six times now, they look exactly the same, and it's because Hurts looks exactly the same.
Well, look, 215-592-9494 for you to get involved. Obviously, a simple question, how concerned you are about the Eagles' passing game and, by extension, the team as it relates to this upcoming season when you hear Elliott say that. Again, Elliott's words, lack of a passing game. That ain't good. That ain't good when you got a season coming up in a month. Again, 215-592-9494. How concerned are you? Here's where I'm at. Legitimately concerned. Now, to be clear, not in a sense that this really moves me off what I thought a month ago, because this is what I expected. See, the difference between how I look at it and maybe some other people look at it, for some people, this might be a surprise or a shock. And therefore, like, oh, no, this is exactly what I expected. The good news is the team has a great offensive line. The good news is the team has an easy schedule. The good news is the team will be able to run the ball a lot this year. The good news is that the team's going to have a defense that should help it win some games. And when I add all of that up, I still come to the total of probably 10 wins. I'll give you my official pick in a month before the season starts, but probably 10 wins and still what I believe will be a playoff team. But when I say legitimately concerned, it's when I hear Elliott say this and others reporters say this, this is why I still think Dallas is better than the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I picked Dallas in all likelihood. And again, I'll give the official pick in a month to probably still Dallas win the division. This is why I don't talk often about the Eagles and Super Bowl in the same sentence. You know, it's just not a surprise to me. Now, do I expect when, you know, the action gets real, when the games get real, and Jalen Hurts has the green light to run and guys are trying to tackle him, and he makes some guys miss, and he runs some guys over, and he breaks some tackles, and he gets some first downs, and he scores some touchdowns in a way that is different than training camp practice, and that'll help him and the team? Sure, that'll help him and the team, and there's no doubt his competitive juices, when the Sundays happen in the fall, will help the Eagles, at times, move the ball down the field. But here's the deal. He won't be able to run and compete his way to a Super Bowl, or frankly, in my opinion, his way to the team becoming an elite squad. He can run and compete and hand the ball off, and they can get to 10 wins, and I think they probably will. But if the standard is, and this is what the standard is supposed to be in this town, if the standard is let's be elite and compete for a title. I mean, think about the 02 and the 03 Eagles. They were great teams.
Yeah.
They were in 12-4 both of those years. They lost in the NFC Championship both of those years. And when those seasons were done, people around here said, failure. 12-4, NFC title game, failure. Because they had lost when the expectations had risen. The expectations should be rising right now. And, Elliott, when I hear you, and again, everyone can get in at 215-592-9494, how concerned you are.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I hear you say what you just said, Elliott, and everything that's been the chatter over the last 10, 11 days, whatever it is since this started, heck yeah, I'm concerned.
Well, let's take a deeper dive into what I've been seeing. So, there's been six practices. Jalen Hurts has one passing touchdown outside the red zone. Six practices, one passing touchdown outside of like the 15-yard line. There's been no vertical threat. And really, his only passing touchdown he's had was against the second-team defense. He's not thrown a touchdown outside of the 20 against the first-team defense in 6 days of practice. So they've been unable to really move the ball down the field through the air, which I think is a key for this season. But here's another thing that I found really surprising. As you know, I chart every play from practice, and I've been doing it for 5 years. So I can go back and look and see what they were doing last year, right? Last year, through six practices, Jalen Hurts was averaging about 18 attempts a practice throwing the ball.
Sure.
This year, through six practices, he's averaging about 15 attempts, 15 and a half, right? Now, that's not a huge difference, only two attempts.
Yeah.
But I would have thought coming into camp, that number would have gone up, not down, right?
Well, how much of it relates to short practices and shorter than last year? I mean, is that simply a byproduct
part of
it. Less
it's
time?
Part of it. But I guess what I'm saying is, I'm not seeing them come out and put an emphasis on a passing game like I would have hoped for two reasons. One, because they need to be a better passing attack. But two, if they're not going to play in the preseason games, this is the time to get the work in, right? Like, we know they can run the ball, and we know they're not tackling. So I frankly don't really see a huge advantage of running it a ton of times in practice, right? Like, we know
I agree with that. Work on your deficiencies.
Work on your deficiencies, yes. Right? And if their deficiency is passing the ball, they are not passing it at a much higher level. So to what you said about expectations and about what this team was versus what they can be, yeah, they can win 7 or 8 games by just running the ball next year because they're going to play bad quarterbacks, because the schedule is easy. But here's what I know. If the reason to believe in the team is an easy schedule and defense, then I can't really believe in that team. And I think everyone needs to be honest with themselves. When you look around the league, the teams that people believe in the most are the teams with the really good quarterbacks that can throw the ball and have head coaches that you believe in, right? Very few teams get the benefit of saying, well, they have an easy schedule, so they're Super Bowl contenders. Like, no, that's not what makes you a contender. What makes you a contender is an ability to do what you need to do in the NFL to win at an elite level. And to win in the NFL, you have to pass the ball. So through 6 days, I'm not seeing a team that can do that. And so I look around and I see, like, you know, 11, 12, 13 wins, you know, one of the best teams in the NFC, all that. No, I don't even see a team that I think is definitely going to make the playoffs. And that is very surprising for me through 6 days.
Wow. So are you still at 10 wins or are you below?
If I had to pick today, and again, I'll use a Joe DeCamera line. I'll make my official prediction in 3 weeks.
I cover myself off real well with that
one. Oh, exactly.
Right?
You have to
Every year I do that.
Yeah, and because things can change in 3 weeks.
Absolutely.
Right? But if I had to pick right now, I would pick 9 wins. I would pick under the 9.5.
And Jalen Hurts is the biggest reason why you don't have them at 10 or above.
Yes. Jalen Hurts is the biggest reason why right now.
Well, look, everyone can react. 215-592-9494. Elliot's there every day. He sees this stuff every day, every throw, every practice. When you hear Elliot lay – and by the way, Elliot, you've been a fairly pro Jalen Hurts guy.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say in the last year or so? I mean, you've been – you certainly have been higher on Jalen Hurts than I've been.
Look, last year I thought they'd make the playoffs because I thought Hurts was going to be an upgraded quarterback over Wentz. I think I was correct about that. But I think last year was kind of like the ceiling of what he can be with where he is. You know, like they're not going to be able to run their way to the playoffs again. They're not just going to be able to take advantage of a bad schedule. Those are not reasons to believe in a team. Those are reasons to talk yourself into a team and to have hope. But it's not a reason to truly believe. And Jalen has not shown me a special training camp yet where I can be as excited or as hopeful as everyone else.
All right, look, 215-592-9494. Maybe people are concerned when they hear this. Maybe not. Maybe this is just, hey, it's practice. What are we talking about here? We all know the reality that Hurts is probably a better player in games than practice because of his running capabilities and because he does have great competitive juices that I think we saw last year come out on Sundays. But I think we also saw last year he's not that great in the passing game, and that did hold him back last year. And if he had been better, they could have won 11 games. They won 9 instead. Seltzer, talk to me. You're hearing what Elliott's been saying. You've been hearing the other reporters say this the last week and a half or so. What's your reaction? How concerned are you?
Yeah, it's too early for me to be concerned. If you look around the NFL, basically this is happening in every single camp in the NFL. The defenses are ahead of the offenses. It's across the league, and it makes sense. It takes time for an offense to get together, to get on the same page. Everyone needs to be firing in the same direction. There are new pieces. He's working on mechanics, all that stuff. If we're having this conversation in like 2-3 weeks when like the season is on the horizon and the offense is still struggling and Hurts is still not throwing the ball, well, to Elliott's point, I can reserve my judgment and change my opinion, but it is too early for me to be freaking out about this. There is a lot of time.
Hold on, but let me just say this, James. You ready for this? We're going to be having the same conversation in 2 or 3
weeks. We'll find out, won't we?
Yeah, we will.
I'm not ready to say we will.
Because you got to these are the things why people refer to me as Jostradamus.
Guys,
I told you he's not that good. I don't know why people don't – they listen, but why don't you hear it when I say it? I told you, he's not that good. And it freaking ticks me off that we got a season about to start with huge high expectations, with a tremendous upgrade of talent, and a really good defense. And, Elliot, I'll disagree with you. I think a defense can still take a team to the Super Bowl. Doesn't happen – that often, but it can happen. I mean, if you have a great defense, you can ride that to elite status, and you can win a Super Bowl that way, but that's a hard needle to thread. You do need to pass the ball in the NFL. I don't think Jalen Hurts is good enough. I'm not surprised, but I'm disappointed with the first 2 weeks because, quite frankly, it's largely what I expect.
Yeah, and honestly, I'm going to push back on what James said. I understand that to a certain degree, offenses take a little more time to get clicking, but that shouldn't be the case with this specific team. The defense is the one that's implementing a new scheme. The defense is the one that has all the new players. The offense is the one that's returning pretty much 10 out of 11 starters, and the new starter, A.J. Brown, is like the only guy Hurts is having success throwing the ball to in camp. So I actually don't think that it's an excuse to say, well, wait 3 weeks and give the offense time to click. But also, like, when you just look at it, he looks like the same guy. So if he was playing well, right, if he was coming out and he was throwing 2-3 touchdowns a game, I don't think anybody would be saying, well, let's wait 2-3 weeks and see if he keeps it up, right? There would be an excitement level. Yeah. So people are pushing back on the time frame because he's struggling. And I think that's an important distinction to
make. Well, I agree with you, Elliot, because when James says, let's see the 2-3 weeks thing, I just think a lot of it, and I'm going to be real, it's just based on hope and want and not based on reality. And this is what we dealt with the Carson thing. And this is why I was so steadfast near the end of Carson telling people, open your eyes and look at what is occurring. The guy isn't good.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you want him to be good, just because he had previously been good, just because he was supposed to be good, doesn't mean he's good. And I'm telling you, I think Jalen Hurts and Carson Wentz, while stylistically different at this point, are very similar with regard to quality of player. I don't think either is good enough. Now, look, guys, I hope to be proven wrong. I will gladly come on here and eat a bunch of crow in the coming years if I'm proven wrong. But, you know, people that have listened to me over the last year, you know where I stand. I don't think Hurts is good enough. And when someone like Elliot, who had been a lot more, let's call it pro-Hurts than me, over the last year, comes in here and says, guys, he isn't playing that good in practice, I mean, it's got to mean something.
Yeah, and I'm not writing him off to the degree
I know
you are.
I know,
right?
You're not. I know you're not.
But one thing you said is, you know, in a games he'll be better because he can run around. I don't think that's a positive. Like, this idea that just on Sundays he's going to run around and that's going to fix the offense is going to get fixed when they have a consistent passing game, and that happens from the pocket.
All right, 215-592-9494. I do think they will run the ball very effectively, and Hurts will be part of that. And that, to me, is a huge part of how they'll get to 10 wins. But beyond 10 is where it gets tricky, and if you don't have a really good quarterback, that's hard to do. Let's kick it off on the phone lines with Kevin in West Philadelphia. Hi, Kevin.
How you doing today?
Good, Kev.
What's up, Kevin?
Let's talk a little Eagles. Last year I didn't give them 10. This year I'm giving them 10 wins only because I hope the coach realized the first 6 losses last year was because we didn't run the ball. This team is a run first, pass second.
Well, there's no doubt that, yeah, they're a run-heavy team. And yeah. I think people that thought they were suddenly going to turn into some passing team, I thought, didn't see the writing on the wall. I mean, they're just too effective at running the ball to abandon that. And I think they're going to run it a lot. I think they're going to be very successful at that, Kevin. But to become elite, and that should be the target, right? They established, hey, we can make the playoffs last year. Cool. Appreciate it. Good job. Now let's take it up. I mean, you get A.J. Brown, you get all these defenders. Elite should be the range that you're shooting for this year. And I think Jalen Hurts will hold them back from that.
No. He's a smart running quarterback. He knows how to slide. Something like Wentz did not know how to. He wanted to run everybody over and knock himself out, almost out the lead. This guy is smart, man. Not only is he football? His football IQ is good. That's going to carry him a long way. He's going to outthink a lot of them guys, and he looks in great shape.
Well, Kevin, obviously he's in great shape. Appreciate the call.
I agree with Kevin that Jalen does do a good job sliding. He doesn't take contact, but he did get hurt last year for what it's worth, right? Like, he did. Now, I do think he's smart at the ends of runs, and quarterbacks get hurt. I don't think that's a result of him being a running quarterback. So I do think he's smart. But he said something, and you've said something that I think is interesting, that they'll definitely be able to run the ball. They were not able to run the ball in Tampa.
No, but they were for the previous 2 months when defenses knew they were going to do it.
And Hurts' injury impacted the running game.
Yeah.
Like, it just did.
I agree, James.
He couldn't run the same way.
Do you guys think teams are going to play them the same way they did last year? Defenses, I mean. Are defenses going to play the Eagles' offense?
But they knew they could run for the second half of the season.
But like, there's a big difference between doing it the final 6-7 weeks of the season and giving teams an entire offseason to plan for you and then having to do it for an entire
season.
So you
expect 8-man boxes and the defensive coordinator says, even though you got A.J. Brown, I want to see if Jalen Hurts can prove that he can get the ball to him and Goddard and Smith, and we're going to make him – Prove to us he can pass.
Absolutely, and it's on Sirianni as well to have a counterpunch ready. Like, well, it's going to be on Sirianni, and then there's that question. How much confidence do you have in him?
All right, let's go to John and Clifton right now. Hi, John.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Good morning.
What's up, John?
So I have the total different view on this. Everyone forgets about the defense, the run game. We are a run-first team. Does everyone forget about the 0-1 Ravens? The 0-1 Ravens, the quarterback was a game manager.
Well, it's 2000, but yeah, 2000 Ravens.
Yeah, 2000.
Yeah. Yeah, but that was 22 years ago.
No, that's okay. John, I agree with your point because there are a couple teams. Listen, the 2000 Ravens, I'm just going in more modern times, and it's a generation ago, and the rules have changed. But the Ravens in 2000, the Bucs in 02 were obviously a heavy defensive team. The Broncos in 2015, even though they had Peyton because the guy's arm was falling off, that was about a defensive title, and obviously Seattle in 2013. It can still be done. It might be harder than the old days, but it can still be done.
And that is absolutely my
But
point.
They are Do also, I, but John, to be fair, they might be the four best defenses in the last 20 years, 22 years. And while the Eagles' defense has improved, I mean, you know.
Yeah, but neither of you deep down would pick that to be the way to win. Both of you know it's the tougher, less likely way to win.
It's less likely.
Tougher.
It is the tougher. It is the most tougher way to win. But being a Philadelphian, that is a – If we got to win by defense, I'm all with it. I remember the Eagles from the early years, the Jim Johnson era.
Sure.
Not that this defense is that defense, but it can be.
It's got a shot. They got some. John, I hear your point, and I appreciate the phone call because I don't want to lose. Yeah, Elliot, you and I can already tell are not in sync on this importance of defense thing. They're still out there 50% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
I know rules work against defense, but a good or great defense can elevate a team and can help you become elite.
It can help, but it's way tougher, right? And also, I'm glad to hear the whole city is now on the page with me of Gannon being a good defense coordinator. Because all I heard last year was they'll never win with Gannon as the coordinator. The defense isn't good enough. Now I'm hearing, well, don't worry, they'll win because of the defense.
Well, I think what people are referring to typically is the talent. I mean, whether
but the same coordinator.
No, I understand whether he can put it together or not. Time will tell. Look, it's funny the guy brought up defense there last call. I appreciate the call because Twitter poll question of the day, James had just put up a moment ago, ironically, how good will the Eagles defense be this season? We've broken it down into four choices. A, top five in the NFL, which is an outstanding defense if you're top five.
Yeah.
B, top 10. C, average. D, below average. I can't imagine other than a couple – jokesters that'll just hit a button on social media just to be a fool. Many people hitting below average.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think the choices really come down to A, B, or C, top five, top 10, or average. And to me, it's probably top 10 is my lean. And there's no doubt that the defense being elevated is part of what has to be affecting Jalen Hurts in practice. I mean, you go against Slay and Nelson, that's one thing. You go against Slay and Bradbury, that's a different deal.
Yeah, and the defense is showing him different looks, which I think not a lot of defenses do in training camp, right? So I think that's part of it. But they couldn't pass the ball last year. So this is not a new deficiency. It's a continuation of one that you wanted to see improved.
215-592-9494 to weigh in on what Elliot said. He referred to it as a, quote, lack of a passing game. What is your reaction when you hear that? How much are you concerned by that or not? Again, we'll rock all your calls, 215-592-9494. Plus, up ahead, we'll get into the Phillies. Syndergaard got the win last night, but he got banged around a bit. A lot of hits in that game. We'll get into that. Rock all your calls. Joe to camera, Elliot in for John on 94 WIP. Well, that was a, needless to say, a big hit. Big hit in the moment, and it became even bigger when you realized the game was only half played when it was finished. Shortened game last night, and the Phils eke out the victory. Four-and-a-half-inning game. Got to love it. Joe DeCamera, Elliot in for John today, 94 WIP.
A lot of things have gone the Phillies' way this year. Like, there's been injuries, obviously, but, like, you think of all the late-inning wins they've had. You look at last night. I don't know. Like, we've talked about this last time I was in, but there's a lot of little moments where you look and go, all right, I can see how these add up to something in the end that turns out being special.
Well, that stretch they had in June when they had those four miracle wins was probably the biggest example of that. You know, it might have been late May, early June, whatever it was. James, who was it? Was Vierling with the one.
Yeah, Vierling and Bohm off of Hader. Stott had the one a couple days before. Yeah, that was pretty wild.
They had a stretch there.
And they're all, to Elliot's point, like last night too, the way that plays out, it feels like stuff that wouldn't have happened the last few years.
I agree with that. I do. All right, look, 215-592-9494. We'll get more into last night's Phillies game coming up soon. Boy, it did really start raining hard last night. Let's go to Jacob right now. Hi, Jacob.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, what's up, Jacob?
With these camp reports, I honestly can't figure out how you're not concerned.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean you have to be, like, out on the season or anything, but the first two people who called in to defend Hurts talked about how he's a great slider and how our defense is going to be really good.
It's such a great point,
yeah,
man. That is such a great observation by you.
And then the other thing that concerns me is in Tampa, Elliott's talked about how Jalen needs to counter this year with what defenses are doing. And in Tampa, they just told him, we're going to cover your best guys and we're going to leave Quez open and we just dare you to throw it to him. And he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
My concern, Elliot, with what you've been saying is he's throwing to his number one guy again and not seeing anybody else. Devontae has like two catches.
Yeah. And look, Devontae's hurt now. He's a groin injury. He's day to day. But you're right. I mean, if you look at the receiver breakdowns of where they've been throwing the ball, A.J. Brown is getting it way more than any other receiver. In fact, I have the numbers right here in front of me. A.J. Brown has 22 targets so far in training camp. Devontae Smith has 10, and Quez Watkins has 7.
See, that's ridiculous. I mean, Jacob, that's just ridiculous. And obviously, it goes in large part to one extent, it's because they're just not running many plays. Practices aren't very long, so you're going to have, you know, smaller numbers. But the disparity between top and bottom there is all about, I mean, in my opinion, I haven't seen the practices the way Elliot has. I've seen parts of one, but it's a quarterback that doesn't move from receiver to receiver in the pocket effectively. His eyes just don't process it effectively.
Exactly. Like the main benefit of getting all these weapons is the optionality it's supposed to give you. But if you're just looking at one guy and he doesn't get open, you're doing the same thing as with Devontae Smith. Maybe AJ will get open a little bit more because he's better, but you're still limiting yourself to one read at a time.
Listen, Jacob, I think you're bringing up some good points there. Elliot, let me ask you a question, because I brought this up on a show about 3 weeks ago, and I was obviously trying to make a point when I asked this question. It was sort of rhetorical. It sort of wasn't. How do you think the town will feel? When I say the town, I mean individual fans, millions of them, if they're wrong for the second straight time about a quarterback.
You said the town?
The town.
The town will
people,
feel?
Humans. Like, people were so convinced, even still in 2019 and 2020, there was a segment, and I would say it was roughly two-thirds of the populace, were so convinced Carson was outstanding. John Ritchie was utterly convinced.
Yeah.
Seltzer, you were for a long while. You were really in on Wentz until the very end. And there are people that are really convinced again on Jalen Hurts it'll be really good. And I'm not trying to be, you know, town psychologist here, but how will people take that if Hurts falls flat and they realize, well, I'm 0 for 2 on two really big ones in the last couple of years?
Yeah, I mean, I think fans will be devastated, because as good as this franchise is run and as well—
I'm not trying to sound haughty.
No, I know.
But, I mean, I am kind of a quarterback whisperer. I mean,
well, that
right?
sounds
I mean,
a little haughty.
Seltzer, wouldn't you say—
The haughty hammer.
But yeah, the haughty hammer.
But
there
Seltzer,
is, yeah.
wouldn't you say I have a pretty good track record?
You got one right,
I was
right,
going to say,
dude.
What's the other one?
And you got one right, all right? And you weren't even the first on that
I
corner.
I didn't want them to trade Foles for
sitting,
Bradford.
You're sitting with someone who was saying it before you were saying it, along
early
with
on
Joe Giglio.
I don't know about that. I thought we were all about the same.
No, Elliot.
To me, it was obvious. Look, I thought
Elliot
it was pretty
was
obvious.
Ahead on it.
By the middle of 2018, I thought it had become pretty obvious that Carson was not what we expected.
I think that's right around, where I turned, maybe a little earlier. Let me ask you this. How many people do you think believe in Jalen because of what they see, and how many people believe in Jalen just because they want to have a quarterback?
What does that mean, they want to have a the hope thing?
Well, yeah, like coming off the Carson thing, because I think you're right. The fact that if Jalen misses, if this year he's not the guy and they have to find a quarterback.
Yep.
I know they're well set up to do it, but it's hard to find a quarterback.
Oh, listen, they're not. The
Eagles have had one franchise quarterback.
They're not that well set up to do it, because you can be set up better than other organizations to get that guy, that doesn't mean you have an above 50% chance to get that guy.
Agreed.
I mean, I remember when the Randall thing ended after 95, the Eagles did not have a franchise quarterback until they drafted Donovan in 99. And obviously he wasn't good enough to be considered good until 2000. They went 5 years in the wilderness. I mean, guys, the Washington football team, they have gone almost 30 years in the wilderness. Now, you can say some of that's ownership, and obviously it is mismanagement. I don't think the Eagles is going to take them 30 years to find the next guy that's the guy. But the reality is, while there are more levers to pull than there used to be because there's quarterback hopping in the NFL now of veterans, it doesn't mean it's easy.
Well, when was the last time you would say McNabb played at a level of a franchise quarterback? Like, what year would you consider him gone?
He was still really good in 08. He had the struggles in November, but they still got to an NFC Championship game. He was still really good. 09, he had, you know, 09, he was still relatively good, but, you know, it was very obvious when he got to Washington that he was cooked.
So it's been 13 years since Eagles had a franchise quarterback.
Think about that. Well, here's where I disagree with you on that. I think Carson had established himself as a franchise quarterback in that second year, and I think the injury changed the whole situation.
I don't disagree with that, but the reality is it's been 13 years since they had consistent franchise quarterback play.
That is
like,
true.
That's just the reality.
Listen, we all know Jaws, Randall, Donovan, they all had a decade.
Mm-hmm.
Roughly a decade. Other than that,
it's been it.
You're doing the 1-2-3 year cycle thing with Vic, with Bradford, with Foles, with Wentz. You know, now we're on to Hurts, mm-hmm. which you guys know. I don't think it's going. You know, there was the Rodney Pete year or two. There was the Ty Detmer year or two.
I mean, there was Vic.
There was
Cobb,
the Bobby Hoyan.
There was Bradford.
You're right.
You know, there was lots of guys where there was day one hope.
You're right. Let's go to the phones. Hank's with us in Bordentown. Hi, Hank.
Gentlemen, it's a pleasure.
What's up, Hank?
Our pleasure, Hank.
Hey, so you can add me to that column of gentlemen who just – I just want to have a quarterback. That's why I believe in him. I don't look at what he's doing and say, oh, he's definitely our guy. I'm just tired of the revolving door. Like, that's one thing. He has a quarter. He says we have a quarterback factory or whatever. It's a revolving door.
Well, they don't want it to be a revolving door. They want to have one guy. They want to be able to draft backups and develop them. But hold on, Hank, I'm curious and fascinated by the first 5 seconds of your phone call. Fascinated. You believe in Hurts. Correct me if I'm wrong here. This is what I think you said. You believe in Hurts because you want the Eagles to have a good quarterback. Is that what you were indicating?
Because I'm an Eagles fan. I don't want us to have a quarterback. I don't want – if we have a quarterback, I just want the quarterback to do well.
Well, so do I, but I don't understand the concept that you believe in the player as a good player and a player that projects to be good for years to come because you want it. I mean, I want it. Tony Roten, when he was with the Sixers, to be, you know, Magic Johnson. But I knew he wasn't.
I see what you're saying. I guess what my thing is that I really want the guy to do well because he is a part of the team. It's not because of anything else. I'm not on the hype train of anything else. You know what I mean?
All right, man. Listen, it's a standard. I mean, that's your standard. That's cool. That's you know, that's different than the way I think, but fair enough. 215-592-9494. Let's get to the Phils last night. Mix that in. Obviously, an abbreviated game. They get the win. Syndergaard, obviously, the big story. I mean, let's lay it out. Underwhelming. Underwhelming. A lot of hits. I think it was 10 hits, I believe it was, in five.
Yeah, only five innings. Right?
11 hits.
11 hits in 5 innings.
4 in runs.
Dude, I mean, that's, you know, I was very clear that when he came in here that my sense was that Ranger would be the Phillies 3. I'll, you know, certainly think that that's a bolstered position now, you know, after we saw Syndergaard last night. Yeah, sky's not falling. I'm not trying
Syndergaard's
to act like
a 5. I mean, Kyle
think
Gibson,
a 5.
I think Kyle Gibson, I would rather have Kyle Gibson on the hill than Syndergaard. You know, I wasn't super excited about the Syndergaard move to begin with. I think Kyle Gibson has better stuff right now than Noah Syndergaard.
So Syndergaard, a far bigger name than quality pitcher at this point.
Oh, I mean, you saw it last night.
I know,
that's
I'm
what
aware.
He looks like now. Like, he just doesn't have any swing and miss stuff is the problem.
But how much of that, just for last night, do you think was a result of just got traded, just got to Philly, all those things.
I don't think that.
Okay. He had 64 strikeouts in 80 innings coming into last night. You know, he got 2-5 last night. Like that, he's going to get hit, and it's very good defensive team.
I'll tell you what I thought, and I think this went under the radar when the trade happened, but it stood out to me. I didn't say it on the show yet. I'll say it now, but I took stock of this. The league spoke volumes about what they think of Syndergaard when you consider what the Phillies had to give up to get him.
Outstanding point, yeah.
I mean, they gave up a guy. This is the Moniak trade, right?
Yep.
They gave up a guy, Mickey Moniak.
Who hit a home run, by the way.
Has homered in every game he's played as an Angel. But
yeah. Is it one game?
He homered last night in his
first
game.
But we all know he basically can't play. And the Phillies gave up a basically can't play guy to get Syndergaard. Now, I understand there's economic realities. He was owed about $7 million the rest of the season. Not every team wants to touch that. So, yeah, teams would be more in on Syndergaard if he made $700,000 the rest of the way instead of $7 million. But still, take inventory of who the Phillies gave up and how that was, presumably, the best offer that the Angels received. And then ask yourself, what are you really expecting out of Syndergaard?
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but one of the main reasons they had to acquire a starting pitcher so they didn't have to do these bullpen games anymore, right?
Or just a guy that can start but is a bad starter.
Right, so yes. I think that if you can just get through games with him where you just win, I don't think you're looking at him as a guy that obviously you want him to pitch well, but the hope is not he turns into a starter in the playoffs. The hope is just, well,
no,
but
I don't
look,
agree with that.
You just said you thought Ranger would be the third starter in the playoffs. Gibson's probably better at this point.
But like, in a seven-game series, I'm going to need four starters. The days of... You know, here's Bob Gibson, and he's pitching game one, game four, and game seven. Those days are basically gone. So you need the fourth starter. And the hope, obviously, and listen, James could be right. Maybe it's Gibson. Maybe it will be Syndergaard. We'll find out. But I'll just say I was hoping for more last night.
But what I'm saying is if the benefit of Syndergaard is he at least stops you from having to use your bullpen at the beginning of games every five games, isn't there value in that?
Well, I agree with that, but I'll say this. Cardinals won again last night. We got to get our minds wrapped around the fact this is not going to be easy. It is basically a coin flip. It is basically 50-50 between the Phillies and the Cardinals. It's going to come down to two or three games max, and his games are going to have a big part in it.
Yeah.
215-592-9494. Let's go to Josh in Manayunk right now. Hi, Josh.
Joe, first of all, great point. We gave up the Mick to get this guy.
Seriously.
Right now, he's not – I mean, not for nothing. He's not like – We give up first overall picks like it's nothing in Philadelphia. So like clearly they don't work out. So I mean, we're disappointed but almost not expected. You know, it was like wasn't overly shocked that he got lit up a little bit yesterday. So
I'll tell you what, Josh, I was a little surprised, and I'll tell you what I mean. But I wasn't expecting Syndergaard to be great because I obviously seen all the reports that he's no longer that guy anymore. But the 11 hits in five innings. Surprised me a little. I mean, because his ERA with the Angels was about 3.7.
I would say it was under 4.
Yeah,
it was
3.83.
Yeah, I mean that's a solid ERA. You know, that's not great, but it's solid. And then to see him give up 11 hits in 5 innings, it's like holy mackerel.
But that's what I'm saying. Maybe last night was just first start, new team. Like I'm going to give him 2-3 starts until I say, okay, this guy definitely can't be in the rotation.
All right, Josh, what do you got for us, man?
I also want to talk about Joe. Guess what? You're right with Jalen Hurts. Totally agree with you. But you also thought Ben Simmons was a generational superstar.
I did.
Who could not shoot the ball? And not for nothing, I was a naysayer the entire time because you have no heart and you can't shoot the ball. So, I agree with you 100%.
Josh, I'll say this on Ben. In the early years especially, it was obvious by about the fourth year nothing was going to change. But in the early years, my brain could not compute the concept of a human being that talented in many ways who had two things. One, fear to that extent. And two, what I do believe is a just general unwillingness to try to get better at the deficiency in his game. It just didn't make any sense. Like to Jalen Hurts' credit, the dude is trying to become a better quarterback.
Yeah.
He's trying. Ben Simmons didn't try.
Nope, and he was.
And I just did it. And listen, shame on me for not knowing more of the DNA of that, the way that guy was wired. I guess it just didn't seem plausible that a player would not want to strive to be better.
Well, I mean, here's
and could not develop an Eric. All I was asking for him to do is develop an Eric Snow jump shot. Like, he didn't have to become Mr. 3-point shooter guy. I'd like him to be able to mix it in, but be able to stick the Eric Snow, you know, 16 footer just to keep the defense honest a little bit.
He didn't even do it in LSU, so it wasn't like coming in. You know, it was clear in college he wasn't going to shoot.
Just so weird,
no,
man.
He was awful. But yeah, boys, always enjoy the show, Joe. Like I said, when I heard you're patting yourself very hard on the back about Jalen Hurts. Let me ask you a question. Here's the question. Carson Wentz, if he goes 2-0 against the Eagles this year for Washington, are you more surprised or less surprised?
Well, I'll be surprised because I don't think the Washington team's going to beat the Eagles twice this year.
Okay. But if Jalen Hurts has two poor performances against Washington, are we saying, you know, what's going on?
Listen, Josh, here's what people are not remembering. The Eagles tried hard this offseason to just end it to replace Jalen Hurts with a different quarterback. They didn't get it done, but they tried.
Yeah.
They know what they got. They know what they don't got. Josh, appreciate the call. And, you know, barring some sort of tremendous upgrade in Jalen Hurts' performance, which is possible but unlikely, they will in all likelihood be trying again in February to line it up, and March of 2023 and April 2023, with the combination of free agency, trades, and the draft, they will try again.
It'll be interesting, and this is going down a hypothetical road, but he brought it up. If Carson plays really well twice against the Eagles and Jalen doesn't, just what the reaction will be. And kind of, because I think now there's this sense, and it's the correct sense, that the Eagles very much won that trade. They won that breakup, right? You know, this year could change some things.
Well,
and I'm not predicting it, but I'll just be interested to see the reaction if it does happen.
Here's the deal, and this is where I stood at the time they made the traded Carson, and it's where I still believe. He can get better. He probably will get a little better, although that I don't feel as confident as I used to after seeing him not get much better with Reich. But even if he gets better, if Carson settles into being the 20th best quarterback, that's not what you want.
Agreed.
Period, end of story. Carson can be 20 and Jalen Hurts can be 24, and that might turn out to be what it is in a world where there's 32 starting quarterbacks, but I wouldn't want either of them. That it's as simple as that.
But I would want Jalen over Carson.
I agree with you, because there is a chance Jalen Hurts improves. He's younger. I like the way he's wired more.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued to find out what he can become. No question. If you just plopped him right in front of me right now and said, pick one, I'm picking Jalen. But don't kid yourself. They're not separated by that much right now. And 5 years from now, we might say, yeah, they're pretty similar skill level, and neither one of them is good enough.
Yeah, it's an interesting comparison because Jalen checks so many more boxes than Carson. But I think we can all acknowledge, like, Carson throws the ball better than Jalen.
Like, way
right?
Better.
So, like, if you put Carson on this team, I don't know if they're as good because he makes mistakes and the whole locker room thing and all that. But the passing offense is probably better.
All right, James, what do you got in there?
So, funny that we're talking about Carson Wentz is a tweet that just came out from Washington practice from Matthew Paris, who covers the team, and just talking about if Carson has changed, he goes, you don't hear this too often. Montez Sweat was chasing a scrambling Carson Wentz from behind and was yelling, get rid of it, get rid of it. Wentz ran out of bounds instead.
Mm.
So I don't think Carson has changed that much.
Well, here's the thing, James.
Meaning he didn't throw it away.
Meaning the defensive player who was running after him was yelling, throw the ball, and he ran out of bounds.
Yeah, I mean,
like, classic Carson.
Well, just to be clear, though, I'd have to know, is he a yard behind the line of scrimmage or 9 yards? Because there's a big difference. Is it a 9-yard sack or is it a 1-yard sack?
Regardless, the point in practice is the guy saying, get rid of the ball. Like, you know, and and Carson, it's just classic Carson Wentz.
Well, like, I also think the point, James, too, is it's early in training camp, remember. If he's still doing this for 2 to 3 weeks, then maybe you can start to make fun of him.
Carson's
right?
Horrible.
So, look,
we
the
all
offense
know
early on is supposed to be behind the defense, right? Those are your words, so we'll see.
James, let me ask you a question. It's funny that this just came to my mind because, you know, we're talking about Hurts, but Wentz kind of ties in. What do you, and I'm not trying to pick on you. I swear to God, I'm not. I'm really curious here. In 2020, when you still believed in Wentz, looking back on that, how do you explain that?
Well, I didn't in 2020. I believed in him going into 2020, and it was 100% because of the end of 2019. Like, those four games before he got hurt in the playoff game, he looked like Carson Wentz again. And in hindsight, it was bad opponents, this and that, trying to believe.
They won a game 17-9, and people thought Carson was back. They beat Dallas 17-9 because Dallas's receivers dropped about seven balls.
But it was more that Giants game, right? Like the Giants game coming from behind, that touchdown pass, all that stuff. It was just the first. So we all wanted
to
believe.
The bullet to Miles Sanders.
Yeah, we all wanted to believe, and it was that. Once 2020 started, it was very clear to me that he was bad. Like, that was clear.
All right, 215-592-9494. We have to give away today a pair of tickets to, how about this, tonight's game. Really big weekend for the Phils. We'll get into the whole alumni weekend things we move through the show. By the way, John Kruk joins us today at 12:30. So looking forward to talking to the Crucker at 12:30. So Phil's tickets on the line for tonight's game against the Nationals, 7:05 start time. Toyota Alumni Weekend at Citizens Bank Park. Tonight, the Darren Dalton Foundation has a special seating area in the pavilion sections 207 to 211. If you're looking to purchase a ticket, if you want to buy a ticket specifically, sections 207 to 211, a portion of the proceeds from tickets sold in those sections will benefit those battling brain cancer. Obviously, the Darren Dalton Foundation, all of the great work they do. So DarrenDaltonFoundation.org. James and I were talking before the show today about TV and TV characters, and we started talking about the female variety of some great notable TV characters in the history of television. And curious, as we look to give these tickets away today, who is, other than Lucy, who obviously would be the winning answer. So I'm just going to take it off to start because, you know, everybody would be competing for second place otherwise. So let's just have a competition for second place. Other than Lucy, from I Love Lucy, for the younger viewers, listeners out there, I don't even know who Lucy is from like 50 years ago. Greatest female TV character of all time. Elliot, talk to me. I don't know if you're going Mount Rushmore or not. Who do you got?
Well, I think
best answer, whoever provides it, you're headed to the Phillies game tonight.
So let me ask a clarification, and I'm probably the only person at the station that would ask
this. I already know what the question's going to be.
Are we including reality TV?
I knew that was the question.
Seltzer,
not a character, right? Like,
yeah,
I mean,
not a character.
Kind of is,
no.
But
yeah.
No.
All the right. answer is no.
Okay, I was going to go Teresa from Real Housewives of New Jersey, but with the rules,
God.
I will pick another one. I'm going Olivia Benson, Law & Order.
All right.
Great show, great TV show to have on if you want to watch it, but also like a top show to fall asleep to. I just think it's a great show. She's a great character. She's been around a long time. I'm going Olivia Benson.
Seltzer, who do you got?
So you're watching the show now. I think she's the funniest part of the show and one of the funniest characters in television history. Susie Green is the best.
What show is that?
Curb.
Oh, my God.
Jeff's wife, dude.
Oh, Jeff's wife. Okay, I didn't know
that.
She's
the best character on that show.
Boy, she's not the best character on the show, but she's a great character.
Man,
I mean, he hasn't gotten a Leon yet. But
I've gotten a Leon. Her in season 7, right?
You got Leon now.
Yeah, I thought
Leon was the season after.
Maybe.
Either way.
The house guest, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
so no,
yeah,
he's
yeah,
great,
I think that started
those
season
are the two
six.
Best. Susie Green and Leon, the two best.
Well, the Susie Green interactions with him are just...
It's epic. It's hilarious.
Yeah. It's
the best.
It's unbelievable. All right. I'm just going to answer the question by saying who it's not, because I just want to highlight someone who I thought was so incredibly annoying that I just want to go there. I could not stand Tony Soprano's mom. I couldn't stand her. Every scene, what was her name, Olivia? Every scene she was in was freaking annoying.
Nancy Marchand,
yes,
the actress's
yes.
name. I mean, she was very good in the role, but the character itself
I couldn't
was annoying.
Stand
the performance was good. But
now,
I'm
the
with
dynamic
you.
Between the two of them was critical, obviously, particularly in season one. So there was a dynamic that was interesting with Tony's mom. But, my God, I just found her annoying. Anyway, we're looking for a great female TV character. Best answer by the end of the show, let us know who it is. You can win the Phillies tickets for tonight's game. 215-592-9494. You can weigh in on Syndergaard, what you saw last night. Did it surprise you to see him get banged around like that? Of course, the bats did enough to get the win, and the rain helped end that game early. But, come on, not a great performance by Syndergaard. Also, the Birds. You're hearing Elliott say what he's saying about the Eagles passing game struggling. What do you make of that? 215-592-9494. Plus, up ahead, Dick Vermeil. We will certainly talk about Coach Vermeil as he goes into the Pro Football Hall of Fame tomorrow. And we'll play you some audio. You might not have heard this yet. The moment Dick Vermeil was greeted and was told that he was headed to Canton as a Pro Football Hall of Famer. Coach Vermeil, how he reacted, the things that he said. You'll hear that next. Joe to camera, Elliot in for John on 94 WIP.
The new Bet Parks app is everything you want in a digital casino and sportsbook. It's the only casino and sportsbook app that I recommend. It's easy to sign up, fun to use, and faster to win than ever before. The Bet Parks app has you covered for football season, bet pro football futures, bet now on how many games the Birds will win. You can bet on whether the Birds are going to make the playoffs and so much more. Bet on who has the most passing and rushing yards in the league for the season. Follow at BetParks on Twitter for game lines, odds boosts, and so much more. BetParks is also the official betting partner of the PGA Tour. Live in-game betting. You can bet on the action as it happens. Join me right now on the all-new BetParks Casino and Sportsbook app. Bet on all your favorite sports and play all your favorite casino games for real money. Download the app in the App Store, Google Play Store, or at BetParks.com. It's the all-new BetParks app. Users can make their first bet risk-free up to $750, a $750 risk-free bet. The risk-free bet is refunded in site credit. Sportsbook and casino, all in one amazing app.